Commentators are saying the 12-nation, multi-billion-dollar free trade agreement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership will transform the economic outlook for Australia. But what is a free trade agreement? The Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade says...
An FTA is an international treaty which removes barriers to trade and facilitates stronger trade and commercial ties, contributing to increased economic integration between participating countries. FTAs can cover entire regions with multiple participants or link just two economies.
Free trade agreements open up opportunities for Australian exporters and investments to expand their businesses into key overseas markets by improving access to those markets. That access can cover goods, services, and investments. FTAs can also benefit you by giving you access to a larger range of goods and services. But they're not without criticism, as we'll explain shortly. Trade agreements like the TPP are primarily focused on reducing tariffs. So what exactly are tariffs? Let's hear from airport economist Tim Harcourt. Now teaching at the UNSW Business School, he was the first chief economist of the Australian Trade Commission, now known as Austrade.
Tariffs are basically taxes imposed on imports of goods to Australia. They're first imposed in Federation when Australian manufacturing wanted to protect their goods from outside imports, mainly from the United States. So it basically applies a tax to an imported good, and it makes imported goods more expensive and the local goods a lot cheaper.
But over time, tariffs increasingly came to be used as a means of protecting local producers from overseas competitors. Probably it was in the 1930s that tariffs were used most aggressively for that purpose, to protect local producers, because during the 1930s, those were the years of the Great Depression, and governments often tried to protect their local manufacturers by making it difficult for foreign competitors to sell the same stuff, so they were fairly highly tariffed.
That's Len Perry from the UTS School of Economics. So over time, tariffs became used not just to generate income for governments, but also to protect industry. But as Tim Harcourt explains, this became more of a hindrance to industry than a help.
They do two things, because you're guaranteed that you're going to make the sale, perhaps your quality is not as good as it could be. And secondly, all you do is add a lot of imposts onto industry, and you can get retaliation, so other countries could put a tariff on your exports, and then you end up in a bit of a trade war.
Tim Harcourt's research also showed high tariff industries weren't as much of a benefit to workers as people thought they were.
The industries that had very high tariffs were meant to pay people decent wages, but they didn't, and they often sacked people quicker than any other firms.
So what happened to workers when Australia started to liberalise trade?
As Australia opened its economy, as Paul Keating and Bob Hawke took tariffs off, the companies that were exporters and who also imported a lot as well tended to pay a lot higher wages than non-exporters. They had better equal opportunity conditions for women, better health and safety. They just tended to be better companies all round. So having an open economy, I think, has actually delivered a lot of benefits for Australian workers as well as the Australian companies that chose to export.
Because countries tend to specialise in the production of things that they can do best. If you're protecting those industries, you're locking the economy into producing in areas where it really does not have a comparative advantage, into areas that it's somewhat inefficient in that area of production. If you eliminate a lot of this tariff protection, it enables countries to rather specialise in the areas of production where they are the most efficient, where their costs are relatively low. When that happens, it's possible in the longer term for wages to be relatively high and living standards generally to be relatively high. So over the decades, tariffs have come down really quite considerably. In the early 1970s, the level of tariff protections in Australia was around about 35% for manufacturers. Currently, it's around about 4%.
Len Perry from the UTS School of Economics. Apart from the newly signed TPP, which has yet to be ratified by each participating nation's parliaments, most significantly the US, Australia has 9 FTAs in force. These 9 FTAs account for 42% of Australia's total trade. Trade Minister Andrew Robb says the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal will eliminate over 98% of tariffs in the TPP region, removing import taxes on around $9 billion of Australian trade. So what will the TPP achieve for Australia in terms of tariffs? Tim Harcourt again.
Australia's already got low tariffs because we got rid of ours under Hawke and Keating. So for us, it would be really the other countries taking off their tariffs and giving our exporters, particularly our agricultural producers, a chance to actually get into those markets for the first time.
Trade Minister Andrew Robb says the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal will eliminate over 98% of tariffs in the TPP region, removing import taxes on around $9 billion of Australian trade. For Australia, the TPP will boost beef exports to Japan and eliminate tariffs into Mexico, Canada and Peru. The dairy industry benefits, with Japanese tariffs eliminated on a range of cheeses worth $100 million in existing trade. For the first time in over 20 years, Australia will be able to export more rice to Japan, and there'll be an increase in our sugar exports to the US. But the TPP isn't just about tariffs. There are concerns that trade agreements tend to favour large multinationals over small enterprises. But Andrew Hudson from the Exporters Council of Australia says the TPP has a chapter focused on small to medium enterprises. It's a first for trade agreements.
There are some excellent stories about different types of small and medium enterprises. Wine, for example, different types of fruit, different types of agricultural products where small and medium enterprises, small businesses and the like are actually doing quite well. Often they're niche markets, so we're not talking about trying to be the food bowl of Asia. We're being the delicatessen, effectively. So the people in different markets and different regions and different niches are finding their way into parts of the market where they're being very successful.
Andrew Hudson, a director at the Export Council of Australia. For some people, the agreement oversteps the mark. Of particular concern are so-called investor-state dispute settlement provisions, which could see our government sued for introducing policy decisions that harm their investments, as Kelsey Cook from the lobby group GetUp explains.
In places like Quebec, for example, you've got a situation where the people want a law that would protect the environment or protect a particular natural area, and that company then takes the government to court for it and sues them for a bunch of money, which many would say is really an aberration of democracy and of who policymakers and lawmakers should be forced to pay attention to when they're considering making laws.
Kelsey Cook, Campaigns Director for GetUp. There are also concerns about the impact of the deal on medicines, with pharmaceutical companies pushing for longer bans on companies using their intellectual property to produce cheaper generic brand medicines. But Trade Minister Andrew Robb says he's addressed this issue in the negotiations. Patricia Reynolds is coordinator with AFTINET, the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, who've been lobbying the government on key issues such as the cost of medicines.
US pharmaceutical corporations were demanding an additional 3 years monopoly on very expensive biologic medicines used to treat cancer. Now, what this means is that cheaper versions of these medicines would be delayed for an extra 3 years before becoming available.
What the government has said on that issue is that they have kept Australia's provisions, which is five-year data protection on biologic medicines, won't change.
Yes, they've said it won't change immediately. We have to give credit to the government for responding to community concern about this and for holding out on this issue. However, there is still a provision in there for an extra 3 years by other means.
Patricia Reynolds from AFTINET. It seems the role of pharmaceutical companies will be key to the TPP getting through, with US presidential candidate Hillary Clinton telling PBS News she's not in favour of the agreement.
I'm worried that the pharmaceutical companies may have gotten more benefits and patients and consumers fewer. I think that there are still a lot of unanswered questions.
Economist Tim Harcourt agrees the TPP may have overstepped the mark.
Free trade agreements get into the wrong types of sectors and public policy. I always think that free trade agreements should just stick to simple things like reducing tariffs and quotas and subsidies and making things more efficient for exporters from all around the world. But once they get into objections to a country's pharmaceutical benefits scheme or government policy or its labour market, then I think free trade goes a little bit too far and you actually ruin the community support for having an open economy, which we've had for a very long time.
Tim Harcourt from the UNSW Business School.